Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series about the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We'll look at a particularly difficult one for me, and I'm sure many of you out there, patience. We have a hard time waiting. I find myself trying to find the shortest line at the store, the shortest lane of traffic, or the shortest lane at the drive-thru. I get frustrated if I have to be on hold for any length of time or wait at the local DMV. I've had a hard time being patient with people in my life, but Scripture shows us patience is one of God's strongest qualities. 2 Peter 3:15 says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Since God has patience with us, we should have patience with our difficulties in life, with the people in our lives, and with God himself and the promises he has made us about the future." Hebrews 6:12 says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." The Holy Spirit helps us develop this Christ-like quality to help us remain faithful throughout the struggles of life. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel his peace and presence in your life. And thank you for listening.
Stand this morning for our call to worship. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will be glad and exalt you.
I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
All of our songs have the theme of peace in them because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one is an old favorite, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Special music is the mother and daughter piano duet with Mary Berger and Roberta Pate playing Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
Thank you.
Chris Ingram reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Bearing the Fruit of God's Spirit, Peace.
In the scripture lessons this morning, the first lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The second lesson today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. "But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." That ends the reading for today.
Thank you all. Thank you, Mary and Roberta. Thank you, Chris. We continue our look at the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. These first three are foundational. They're internal. They lay the foundation for us to do and produce the next six. Without the first three, you cannot produce the other six with any type of quality or quantity in them. You've got to have these first three: love, joy, peace. And we see all three of those listed in John 14 and 15. I'm going to encourage you to read those two chapters this week out of the Gospel of John. Jesus, in those two chapters, he gives us three things that are his and wants to give them to us. He says, "I want to give you my peace. I want to give you my love. I want to give you my joy." And he tells all three of those in the last night that Jesus and his disciples were together. The most stressful time for all of them. And John 14 starts with a wonderful passage, one that you all have heard many times at funerals. "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, my house has many rooms in it, and I'm coming back and take you with me." How comforting that is. And then Jesus says, "You know the place to where I'm going." Thomas says, "No, I don't. I have no idea." Russ is paraphrased again. "I have no idea what you're talking about, Jesus." And Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's how John 14 starts. But then we just read, Chris read right there, that he talks about, "Now I'm leaving. This is going to be a chaotic, stressful time for you. Now I'm going to leave you three things that if you seek me, I guarantee you, you'll have these three things: my peace, my love, my joy." Now, if I was talking about peace, think about the most peaceful place. We could just be quiet for a few minutes. All we'd hear would be the hum of the very comforting air conditioners in the sanctuary. And it could be a very quiet, peaceful place for us. Maybe for you, it's out, in nature, taking a walk in the evening, and being drenched with sweat by the time you get home, but still it's peaceful out there. Maybe it's later in the year when you're out there in your deer stand, or maybe it's in the cab of your tractor when you're harvesting in the fall. Just peaceful to see, everything that you planted come to fruition and now you're harvesting it. But I don't know about you, no matter whatever peaceful place, this morning I was up around 5:30, went out and watered a little bit. There was a little bit of a cool breeze. I don't know if anybody was out at 5:30. There was the hint of a cool breeze that teased you for about, 15 minutes before the overwhelming humidity took over at 5:45. But there was that hint of breeze. No cars driving through town, just the chirping of the birds, and very peaceful. But I don't know about you, no matter whatever place I'm at, peaceful surroundings around me, many times my mind is racing. I'm thinking about all the things I've got to get done or the things that I didn't get done, the stresses of the family, you know, things going on in our girls' lives, or worry about people here at the church that you're in the hospital, going through surgeries, going through different things. You're worried about them. And it may be peaceful on the outside, but boy, it sure isn't peaceful on the inside. And when we look at those two chapters that Jesus is in John, the Gospel of John, he talks about this, my peace, my love, my joy. One person defined godly peace this way: the sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on His presence. Think about that for a moment. That when we're sitting in that peaceful spot, although our mind may be full of chaotic thoughts and things going on, that if we center ourselves on God through the Holy Spirit, that His presence comes in and just calms us down, gives us that peace that we cannot get anywhere else in this world. There was a song, and the people out at Salem told me who the singer was. I knew his first name was Johnny, but I could not get the last name. The song is, you know, looking for love in what? All the wrong places. All the wrong places. That's Johnny Lee. I knew it wasn't Johnny Paycheck. He was take this job and shove it. That's the guy that he was. But not a very peaceful song. But we have, you know, we had Johnny Lee. You know, looking for love in all the wrong places. I think many of us look for peace in all the wrong places. Jesus said, come home. You know, my burden is light, and you'll come to me for rest. You know, all those that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. So when we look at worldly peace, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, Chris read that this morning, he talks about peace there. Because there was a war that was going on between two groups of people. It had been a generational divide, a generational hatred of each other, the Jews and the Gentiles. They hated each other. They could not associate with each other. There was a literal wall in the church. It would like being us to build a wall back there in the lobby area underneath where Larry and all them are sitting back there. Be a wall there. You can come into this section, but you can't come down here with the rest of us. You've got to stay out there. They had a literal hatred of one another. And the Jews said, we have the law, and that keeps us from, you know, associating with you. But when we look at our world today, there is not a lot of peace going on. The world would probably define peace as the absence of conflict and the absence of noise. When we come home, when we have young children after a long day at the office, we might say, hey, kids, give me a few moments. I just need a little bit of peace and quiet. Go back to your room. Go back to your tablet. You'll just give me a few moments of peace before they overwhelm you with all their questions and all the things that have happened in their day. That may be how we define worldly peace. We've not had a lot of world peace in the last couple centuries. Civil War in the 1860s, and after that, a lot of years with unrest because of the hatred between the two. Of course, World War I and World War II, the Korean War for the 1950s, the Vietnam War in the 60s and the 70s, the Iraqi War, and all the little conflicts around the world, and of course, what's going on right now in Ukraine and going on in Russia, of course, in the Middle East as well. So we see all this disruption of peace going on, not a lot of world peace going on out there. But Jesus brings something different. He's not bringing the absence of noise. He's not bringing the total absence of conflict, because we're still going to have conflict with people because we live in the world where evil resides. Things are going to happen. But Paul is writing here about a divide, about a peace that comes when we come to know God. One writer said it this way: we must have peace with God before we have the peace of God. What separates us from God is sin. That dividing wall that kept the Jews and the Gentiles apart from worship, that wall that keeps us apart from God is when we sin, when we break our bond with Him. And we need His forgiveness. We need His grace. We need Him to restore peace in our lives. But many of us, we create our own barriers with peace through the lives that we live and through the schedules that we keep, our own barriers because of how busy we are with our lives. They're our own problems, but we've created them. And we push out God's peace to chase what the world says is what we need in our lives. The Old Testament defined peace, and you'd hear the word shalom. It meant peace. It's realized when people are rightly related to God and to each other. One of the titles of Jesus at Christmas time, he was called what? The Prince of Peace. Paul writes about the armor that we wear, our breastplate of righteousness and our helmet of salvation, but he also says that our feet are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We are to have peace in our lives. We are to bring peace in the lives of others. I think one of the Burger Girls, when you guys did your statements of faith, we did the Beatitudes. I think one of you may have had, blessed are the peacemakers. I think one of you two might have had that. Blessed are the peacemakers for what? They will be called the children of God. Paul writes to the Colossians and Ephesians, knowing that there's going to be conflict at times, that people are going to have the possibility to be upset with each other. But this is what he writes both of them. Let the peace of Christ, again, that peace comes from him, rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. He writes Ephesians to people as well. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How many churches have separated because they didn't hold on to the bond of peace? How many fellow brothers and sisters of Christ don't worship together anymore because they let peace not rule in their hearts anymore? The New Testament is called the Book of Peace. It's mentioned 88 times, and every book has the word peace mentioned in it in the New Testament. But to have this peace, we must be right with God. And the only way that that can happen is through our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans says this, 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the world would say peace is the absence of conflict and noise. Godly peace is being in a right relationship with God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. But how do we keep that peace? How we go to a place of peace when there's chaos all around us and our minds are running a mile a minute? Well, I'm going to give you several scriptures this morning for you to write down. I'm not going to give you a book. I'm not to tell you to go into a yoga, you know, pose or to do, you know, to do any type of meditation, except that is which on God's word. But there's several verses here that talk about God's peace, that when we're starting to struggle with finding it, trying to get it into our lives and trying to make it, you know, push out all the other things in our life that's taken away our peace, these scriptures can help center us on it. John 14:27, we just read it. He said, you know, I give you my peace. I have overcome the world. It's his gift to enrich our souls for eternity. You know, a lot of times people, when they pass away, they leave physical gifts. You know, like my grandpa Cobb left me his 30-30. He left me one of his knives. He left me some arrowheads and some lots of other things that he built with his hands that he made out of cedar. And I've got a lot of the poems that he wrote over time in my basement. He left me physical gifts. He also left me, you know, traits that carry on in my life. You know, when I'm out in my garden, I think quite a bit about him. Jesus didn't leave us those types of physical gifts. He left us spiritual gifts for us to use in those times, to be reminded and reminded that in our most chaotic times, that we can look to Jesus when he tells his disciples, he says, I'm giving you my peace, and my peace has overcome the world. And that peace is an inner experience for each individual believer. But then I look to the Psalms, and the Psalms are filled with all kinds of verses that can give us peace and calm us down. In Psalm 34:14, it says, seek peace and pursue it. Turn from evil and do good. What he's saying is that we've got to make it a pursuit for us to seek peace. And how do we seek peace? We find it in his word. We find it in those quiet times when we turn off the TV and we may just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Those times that we pray and we ask for God's guidance and his blessing. He tells us, turn from evil and do good. He says, stop looking for it in all the wrong places, like we said. Many people try to find peace through their drugs, maybe painkillers, alcohol, or pleasure, or a hobby, to kind of have that temporary peace. But we're always chasing out. I don't know how many people read this week Scotty Scheffler's answer. know, he's winning the British Open right now. When I came in here, he was up by 7 strokes in the British Open. He'll win now the third leg of the Grand Slam of golf. And they ask him about his accomplishments this week. He goes, it's temporary. He says, by the time I won the Masters, he says, I'm on to the next thing. He says, that only brings me temporary happiness. It only brings me temporary joy. He says, I'm doing, you know, he's a godly man. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm just, you know, fulfilling my life with how I live with my family and the things that I chase. That is godly peace. He's very successful at what he does, but he doesn't let the things of the world replace the things of God. One of my favorite verses is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul is writing this in prison, and he talks about God's peace. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I always think it's interesting that each one of these, in the midst of being anxious, be thankful. Be thankful. He says, present your requests to God. And what happens when we do that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we take that time out, we find that quiet time, when we take the things of our life that are worrying us, the things that are stressing us, the things that seem like they're overwhelming us. He says, bring those to me. And he says, I will send an army to guard your hearts in peace. Psalm 34:7 says the same thing. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. God has an army at our disposal. And we talked about a few weeks ago when we were going through Daniel about angels. It says God says, he used a military term for there for a reason. He says, I'm going to send my soldiers, my spiritual soldiers, to guard your heart. I know each month I pay $12.99 to Commerce Bank, because that's who I bank with, for them to guard my finances. They are to alert me if I get any suspicious activity. If we have a gentleman like that here at our church, Alan Mortensen, that puts antivirus software on our computers and is working to replace our computers. And you know, even if you see one of those suspicious emails, there will be a warning that comes up saying, don't click on this because of what Alan said. I don't worry about that. And it's the same way with God. He is our night watchman, that we can go to bed and not worry and have that peace of God surround us, which leads me to one of my favorite verses in Psalm 4:8. When you're having trouble going to sleep at night because worry and stress keeps you from it, this is your verse. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I've done all I can do. I'm going to lie down and go to sleep. I'm turning it over to you. You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In peace, your peace, I will lie down and sleep. But we only find all these things when we search his word on a regular basis. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Show me a Christian that reads their word daily. Shows me a Christian that's ready for the battle. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. Doesn't mean you're not going to have chaos and stuff happen in your life. But what it means, you're ready for battle. You're ready for the stresses of life. He says, those who love your law, great peace will they have. That means a daily consumption of his word. I almost brought it this morning, but I'm just still trying to come to grips with, I'm 9 months away from turning 60, all right? Betty has told me she don't want to be married to a 60-year-old man, so if something happens to me between now and then, I'm putting her on notice right now. But just this year, I started using one of those pill things. The days of the week, you know, and so every Sunday, I get on the thing and I pour, you know, I've got a few, you know, prescriptions there, and some of them are just vitamins, you know, but I put my vitamins in there, and I got all my different ones, and man, it's a handful of them, but I started using one of those pill thingamajiggers, so I don't have to open up the bottles every day. It is an acknowledgement that I've made that preparation for the turn at the corner there of 6-0. But I do that every day. That should be the way that we do God's work. We have an allotment every day that we open up, We put in, we wash down, and it gives us the nourishment and protection that we need. And the final verse I'll give you this morning is one that helps us with other people. Romans chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Peace with God, peace with others. We're going to have conflict with other people, but it shouldn't divide us. We shouldn't take revenge, and we take revenge in different ways, don't we? We stop talking to someone. We stop acknowledging their presence. We don't encourage them. We don't, you know, show fellowship. And this is just fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But he says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let God take care of the rest of it. But boy, we do want to take care of it sometimes, don't we? But he tells us that if we're going to have peace with God, we've got to have peace with other people, especially our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we have that peace of God in our lives, we can have composure in difficulty. God's peace also helps us dissolve the fears in our life. And when we let it rule in our hearts, it can maintain harmony even in the most difficult circumstances. I'm looking forward to heaven for many reasons. To see loved ones that were faithful and to be with them again, to hear Jesus call my name. But heaven will be the ultimate place of peace. No more sin. No more bitterness. No more grudges. No more walls. No more clocks. But we see there that when we have the peace of God in our lives, it's the perfect contentment of life, which is completely happy and secure when we're rightly related with God and man.